Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Tim, and welcome to History Dweebs. Thank you for joining us today. And as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Brandy Blue Hair Beauty Herman. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm well. Thank you, Tim.
And the distinguished Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III.
That's too many names.
Affectionately known as the Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm doing fine, other than, you yelling at me all damn day, getting all terse and nasty with me. I mean, I don't know why you had to do all that, but...
Okay, Colonel, thank you for... Sorry I asked. So today's topic is Albert Fish, who was a pretty sick puppy, and this is one of those shows where we're going to, again, recommend listener discretion, because it's pretty gruesome. This guy was a rapist, he was a serial killer, and a cannibal. So he is a trifecta.
It's all around.
Yeah.
Well, really, when it comes to serial killers, you're not going to find anybody as deranged or fiendish as Albert Fish.
Yeah, I think he is even worse than Eddie Gein.
He sets the bar.
Yeah.
That's deranged.
Yeah.
Deranged woman.
She's making fun of your Southern accident.
Deranged.
In Spain. Mainly in the plane.
Why everybody got to pick on the colonel today? Huh?
We love you, Colonel.
Why
we
everybody really. Got a pick on the Colonel?
But before we get started,
Colonel Pinchot.
Before we get started, I thank you all for listening to the Ed Gein podcast. We had like a zillion people, like a little over a zillion, listen to that.
Zillion and one.
Yeah, like zillion and three, something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And we thank all of you for listening to that. So we kind of know what our audience likes now. It appears that you like serial killers and
you
creeps.
Bunch of twisted bastards.
So that's what we're going to give you from time to time. And we have one for you today. Now, the last podcast we did was on, who was it on? Tokyo Rose. And we apologize, it went a little long. My colleagues thought that I went into a little bit too much detail on Tokyo Rose.
The only thing you didn't tell us was that she was a 34B. The only thing we don't know about Tokyo Rose.
No, I'm sorry that
and
the story.
He had that in his notes. He just
I'm sorry that the story of a woman who was caught behind enemy lines, helped POWs,
it's going too long now.
Was charged treason and went to prison, was not as compelling as the.
It was not as compelling as.
Timmy has a lot of Asian friends, and he's clearly pandering right now.
I'm sorry that story was not as compelling as Lobster Boy.
Nothing as compelling.
Or Earl's Taxidermy.
Earl's? Don't you badmouth Earl's Taxidermy.
I would not take Brandy's dead aunt's squirrel to Earl's Taxidermy.
Sir, have you no dignity? Have you no
decency? What, is that
no
the word
decency?
You're looking
for? What the hell is wrong with you? Now, Earl put up $4,000 to sponsor
Where'd
our
it
show.
Go?
Yeah, you're holding out on us.
Yeah.
I mean, Earl put up $14 to sponsor our show, which brings me to this week. We got two.
Two shout-outs.
We got two. Two sponsors.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's get to the shout out first because we have one very special shout out.
We got a very nice email. Very nice. From Roland and his son Jared, who somehow stumbled upon us. And I got to say, I don't know how you stumble upon us. I always wondered that. I would like somebody to send me an email saying
they stumbled on Ed Gein.
Yeah, they stumbled up. They stumbled on the Ed Gein show. Because you stumble across Ed Gein, you're liable to be part of his furniture. But
Ed Gein stumbled across a lot of people in his own house.
And Roland and Jared are from Florida, where you bastards, you're down there being all warm. I'm up here freezing to death, but
and then they wonder why the podcast takes so long.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, I hope you have nice weather down there. It's coming up on hurricane season. Keep yourself safe down there in Florida.
Thank you very much for the email, Roland. We really appreciate it. And if any of the rest of you would like to get a shout out, email us at historydweeb@yahoo.com or our Facebook page. And we will give you a shout out. We love getting feedback. Love feedback, especially positive feedback. So whoever the bastard was that put a negative comment on our Facebook page, we love that too. It was funny, but we deleted you. Sorry.
Yeah, and I did not appreciate it. You're a coward, and if I knew where you were, I'd challenge you to a duel.
I think the quote was something.
You're a coward.
I think the quote was, who are these morons, and how can anyone listen to more than 5 minutes of this shit? I think it was something along those lines. It was brilliant, but
and
it was funny.
Johnny Footstool, I would tell you.
Johnny Footstool. I think it was his name.
You can look me up on the internet, the Colonel Beauregard. I challenge you to a duel.
Okay.
You do not say those kind of things about my friend.
Who are our sponsors this week?
Oh, I'm sorry. I should get to it. But there is going to be a duel if I ever run into you, Johnny Footstool. sponsors today. Now, I went out and got a very special sponsor for us today.
I'm sure you did.
I got us two, actually.
He's Herb Tarlick. Yeah,
now, I got us Alfonso's Scrapyard and Crematorium up in Hoboken, New Jersey. They will get rid of your car, get rid of your body, get rid of a car with a body in it. They've been around for a long, long time.
They did really well during the Mafia Wars.
Some good work out of them.
Yeah. There was a
lot
of work.
Got a lot of business.
Well, that's Alfonso's. You know what I named after.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went down to this Lorain, Illinois.
Yeah.
Because of today's show, where I found Albert's Fish and Chips. So,
which is it's a perfect sponsor for this podcast.
It is. So I gave them a discount, and they said, yeah, we'll sponsor one show. You guys got a lot of listeners over 25 listeners. Yeah. I said, demographic, sure. 22 to 25 people.
Yeah.
So they gave me the lunch special, and
it was fat back.
It was good.
Was it fat back?
Yeah.
That was the lunch special?
It was the fat back.
Okay. Well, thank you, Colonel, for that shout-out and those words from our sponsors. Let's talk about Albert Fish. He was a sick bastard, and so tell us a little bit about him, Colonel.
Well, Albert was born in 1870, because I know you guys are sticklers.
Damn, you're good, dude.
Yeah.
May 19th, 1870.
Yeah, but he got the year.
Now he was an American serial killer. He was born Hamilton Howard Fish,
Ham,
shortened for Ham, and somehow he changed that to a dead relative of his. A dead cousin was named Albert, so he took his name because the kids was calling him Ham and Eggs. Now I don't understand that because his last name was Fish. It seems like Ham and Fish. But somehow the kids came up with Ham and Eggs.
I don't like him because he hurts children, so I'm going to call him Ham and Eggs all through this podcast.
Well, you can call him whatever you want because the guy. Now, the one thing about Mr. Fish is, of all the serial killers, he got some of the coolest nicknames.
Okay, what were some of the nicknames?
Well, the Gray Man. Now, that was kind of, that was kind of. But he was the Werewolf of Wisteria. Now, that's a good serial killer nickname.
It is. Where's Wisteria at?
It's in Germany.
Okay.
The Brooklyn Vampire, the Moon Maniac, and he was the original Boogeyman.
Yeah, that's probably one that people most know him by, the Boogeyman.
The Boogeyman. And he was the original Boogeyman.
And,
probably more scary than anything you can come up in with in your imagination. He did some sick stuff.
He did do some sick stuff, but he was the original boogeyman. He's everybody knows boogeyman scary, and I'm just reminding you, Johnny Footstool, I am your boogeyman now. But back to Albert Fish. Here's a strange thing about Albert. Albert's father was 75 years old when he was born.
That dude's still getting it on when
he was 74 years old when Albert was conceived.
Yeah.
Now, I gotta give you a shout-out there, old man Fish, because 74 years old, and there was no Cialis, no Viagra.
Still hitting it.
Yeah, I mean,
wasn't he 40 years older than his mother?
43 to be precise. Yeah.
I like that.
And he was a riverboat captain.
She must have had great-grandfather issues.
She has something. Or maybe she was sleeping. Maybe she just was a sound sleeper. I don't know. But
They must have met on our time.
Yeah.
Well, I think they met on the Lonely Hearts page.
That's next week.
Which we'll get into next week. But, 74 years old when he conceived the boy. Now, you know when you're 74 years old, the swimmers in there, they're probably the old, the tired, the worn out. When they fertilize the egg, you know you're going to come up with something deranged. Why they do something like that?
I don't know, man. That's crazy.
It should be a cutoff.
No,
49 years old.
Let's don't do that.
49 years old. No, because then you get to
49
fertilizing an egg, and then the guy comes out and
he's eating
people
and
doing all kinds of stuff. But well, it could have been a genetic thing too. Now, Albert, his whole family had a history of mental illness.
Wackos.
I mean, his family tree was like it was as twisted as two anacondas during the Charleston. That's what it was like.
That's pretty twisted.
It was pretty damn twisted.
So. A lot of nuts on that tree.
Yeah, now, strangely, Albert's father died when Albert was young.
Strangely? He did with 70.
Yeah, I mean. Which was going to happen
it's really
unless
not that
the
strange.
Dude.
Yeah. I'm surprised he made it to 70, whatever.
He made it to 80.
So well, he died when Albert was 5.
Albert was 5.
He had a heart attack.
He did have a heart attack. As you know, prone to happen to people that age. And, you know, his mother was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
His mother was crazy. The whole damn family was crazy. I mean, half the people spent the time in an institution. But anyway, his mother at this time was institutionalized, and Albert was sent to an orphanage.
And they were in Washington, D.C.?
They were in Washington. He was sent to St. John's Orphanage in Washington, D.C.
Badass place.
Well, what occurred at St. John's Orphanage, it's where he was treated pretty sadistically.
What happened?
Well, they would whip him with, like, the cat of nine tails, and it's like that books, the blue-haired devil has over there.
Yeah, it's like Brandy's House on Saturday Night.
Or something. Yeah, I mean, what are those Shades of Grey book
pornography
that the blue devil...
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it was stuff like that. But they was doing this to the kids that lived there.
It's shameful.
It was shameful, but Albert liked it.
Kind of turned him on.
It made him...
aroused?
Sexually aroused. And he liked watching the other boys getting beat, and he liked getting beat himself. Oftentimes, Albert would take a cat of nine tails and go flog himself. Go flog himself. Now, as I said on other shows, there's been times I just wanted to hit myself in the head with axe.
Right, right. But you never.
But I ain't never wanted to flog myself.
You never wanted to flog yourself.
Next time you want
to
do that, call me.
There's something wrong with that. Now, by the time he's 20 years old, he's getting into some really, really... And actually, we did mention the 50 Shades thing. Albert was actually the first author of those books.
50 Shades of Grey series.
Well, actually, it was
Albert Fish.
After his spankings, he was writing books, 50 Shades of My Buttocks. That's where the
50
Shades...
Because they would change.
It would change. It'd be purple, it'd be blue, it'd be, you know, kind of a greenish gray.
Sure,
whatever.
Sure.
But, and he, well, you'll get into this later on, but he was actually at one point getting his children to spank him.
Yeah, but that was sick.
But anyway, I'm
saying
like
the
young
friends
Albert.
Too.
Yeah, the friends too. Yeah. I mean, that was like, you know, that don't happen when my kids have company over. They play the Xbox or whatever.
Did you also see where he was getting into while he was at the orphanage? He was also getting into Urology.
Yeah, he was.
He
liked to drink the pee and eat the doo doo, is what they started getting into.
That's the technical term.
That's the technical term, the doo doo eating.
That's my bad trying to.
And he could have got the typhoid from that, too.
Oh, yeah, he could have. Yeah,
he could have gotten typhoid or E. coli or...
E. coli, yeah.
Various and assorted other things that you get from eating
but he food. Or stoolitis.
Stoolitis.
And he got into some strange... The poo-poo flu. Nobody wants that. Oh, no.
Lord. That's worse than the poo-poo flu.
But he, he was... So he's in there and he gets into these freaky, freaky things. He also saw a wax museum exposition.
A what?
He went to a wax museum.
Madame Tussauds.
Exhibition.
Yeah. A wax museum.
None of us can talk today.
Epidemic. He went to a wax museum epidemic. And
so he went to a wax museum and he...
Exhibition.
Thank you.
A wax... Isn't that what I said?
Yeah.
Okay. No.
Close enough.
And I don't know what the hell kind of wax museum this was.
It was Madame Tussauds'
House of Horrors.
House of Horrors. Not the horrors, but the House of Horrors. Because what he saw that fascinated him was a bisected penis. A bisect, not like you do in science class, bisect a frog.
Dissect a frog.
Well, this was a bisected penis.
Cut in half.
It was like if you take the hot dog and you put it in, you put it in the microwave for like 45 seconds.
And it blows up.
But, well, if you put it in the microwave for a minute and a half, split right down the middle.
Right.
Ruined the hot dog. Well, he liked penises like this. He got fascinated by penises like this.
I'm afraid I would get fascinated by penises like that.
Well, I've never been fascinated.
I would not want to see a penis like that.
I would not want to see any type of penis.
I don't want to see it, but if I did see it, it would be fascinating to me.
It will, okay.
Yeah, I can
move on.
I can barely even go on thinking about that now.
Really? Because none of you would ever stop and look at something that was unusual.
No. I can't even pass up a car wreck, a good car wreck. I will stop for that. But a bisected penis, I'm going right past it.
It's something I'm you covering my eyes. See.
First of all, I know both of you are full of it, so.
We do not approve of bisected penises.
Yeah,
I think we need to go on record as saying that's a bad thing.
We are a part of the anti-bisected pieces
penis association. Coalition.
Of Ohio.
Yeah.
And Northern Kentucky.
We're just the Ohio. Yeah, we're just chartered in Ohio.
Right, well.
I believe we're getting now, Blue Head Devil, try to stay on.
I went too long for Tokyo Rose, but go ahead.
So now, 1890. Fish is 20 years old. He arrives in New York City, all right, from Washington. And at this point, he becomes a prostitute.
He's selling it.
And he starts raping young boys. This is when he really starts to take a turn for the really ugly.
Well, see, that seems unfair. Like, he's selling himself, but then he's taking it from someone else.
Yeah. It ain't kosher.
No, you should pay him.
Well, no, they was young boys. I don't know that they could agree to that. So I think he was just a bad man.
These are kids.
He was raping
okay.
young boys. Oh, yeah, okay. He wasn't raping people. He wasn't just raping men. He was raping.
Wasn't even like going to like Turkish baths or something? Did I read that?
He was doing that, but that's where he was prostituting himself.
Okay.
He was a strange guy. He did get married. He was married to a woman for 9 years younger than him, oddly.
Had a bunch of kids. Why is that odd that she's 9 years younger than him?
Well, it's just a little bit of an age gap. For the number of children they had, six kids. And that's when he got into letting his kids paddle. I mean, just all kinds of strange stuff I'll let the Blue Head Devil get into. But now, here's where... We're jumping ahead about 20 years now to 1910, and he's working in Wilmington, Delaware. Okay, and I'll let you fill in some of the gaps for me, Blue Head Devil. But he meets a 19-year-old guy, and this is Thomas Kedden. Now, this is the thing that I just cannot get past. cannot get past for the life of me.
Now, he takes Kedden to where he's living, and the two begin this sad bondage...
BDSM type of relationship.
I know LBGT, sadomasochistic, I don't know, the whole...
Yeah. Yeah, sick stuff.
It's stuff that the Bible actually says is bad.
It's one
the
of
Bible
the,
says yeah, it's bad. Yeah. If you read Leviticus, it'll tell you it's bad.
Thou shalt not spank.
Yeah.
Thy partner.
It's something, but now it's not really clear whether Fish forced him to do this, and it's not really clear whether Kedden was like mentally disabled.
Yeah, it sounded like he was slow.
He didn't have to be slow because Fish wasn't slow and he liked doing weird shit too.
I mean, no, but it sounded like he had limited mental capacity.
Yeah, well, he had. I'll tell you what he had limited after Fish got done with him. He takes him for about 10 days. He tortures him. Fish is torturing
him.
He's got him locked up in the barn. He's torturing him, and Fish just tires of torturing him. He mm-hmm. decides he's gonna kill him. But then, you know, Fish's curiosity gets the best of him. He's got to see. Now we're going back to that bisected penis thing again.
Oh, sure.
So Fish just takes a cleaver and cuts off half his penis. Just cuts off half the penis.
Did he get... Is it down the middle?
I believe he bisected it. Yeah. Which ain't as bad as cutting it in half long ways because you go from, 3 to 5 to a 1.5 to 2.
Yeah, but either way, it's not good.
Yeah, I can't really think of a good scenario to have a wound on the penis, especially having a meat cleaver touch it in any shape or form. The colonel himself.
You probably should be using the term tallywhacker.
I'm trying to be more medical and precise.
I see.
And I know from in a controlled environment, when the colonel had his
stop
vasectomy.
Talking. We're going to stop talking.
I'm just saying it was quite painful to just have...
Let the witness continue.
A wound on my...
tallywhacker.
Well, it wasn't really on my tallywhacker. It was on my junk.
It was on his berries.
It was on the beans, not on the frank.
Okay.
And they... Now, what Fish did was cut it in half. He bisected it.
Right.
And then he put a little bit of peroxide on it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's thoughtful.
And then he got a little rag.
They probably didn't have a lot of different types of medications back in then. So
at least he didn't put that red Bernie stuff on
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Ooh, remember that stuff as a kid?
Should put some Ambisol on there.
What Mercurochrome.
Ooh, yeah. I didn't like that.
Ooh, if he wanted to torture him, he should have put some Mercurochrome on his.
But he put peroxide.
He put peroxide. And a rag covered with Vaseline.
Well, that was thoughtful of him.
That was thoughtful of him, and he
decided not to kill him.
He gave him a kiss, left him $10.
And that was, a lot of money back
then.
Well,
today's money.
It's probably about 15.
Today's money, that'd be like $112.
Oh, that's a good deal.
Yeah, with inflation.
You get that conversion just going.
$112.
Okay.
And he kissed him, and Albert Fish said, never heard from him again. Now, I don't know if Mr. Fish was expecting a text from the man after he cut his whacker in half, but I never heard
from him. Or at least a strongly worded letter.
He says, I never heard from him again. Well, I can't imagine that the man with half the weenie is going to search out the man that cut his weenie in half.
If it was, it was not to thank him, I would imagine.
No, you know what it'd be? It'd be for a duel. Just like I'm going to do with you, Johnny Footstool, if I ever run into you. I'm going to slap you across the face with my white glove. You call my friends morons.
And Brandy is going to be your second.
Brandy will be my second in case I get a sore shoulder.
Or a cold. I'm feeling under the weather that day.
Yeah.
So that's really the young Johnny or Albert Fish.
And it gets much, much, much worse.
It gets so much worse that I'm going to recuse myself and just sit here with my ears covered because I can't bad to hear the horrors of what this man did.
Because you're a decent human being.
I'm a sensitive soul.
And we'll let the harlot
She reads this kind of stuff on a regular basis.
Oh, right. She saw that book. It was in her office yesterday.
There's two of them.
Yeah, I know.
There's two. I don't know how she does even work.
There must be. How many copies of 50 Shades of Grey do you need?
I know. She got like 135 Shades of Grey in
there. She's watching it all day, too. I got cat o' nine tails.
Are you about done running your wormhole?
Well, no, I'm so just saying.
Move on with this. I'm just checking.
All I'm saying
stuff
is
stuff seems to be falling out of your face, like diarrhea. So I want to make sure that that's all plugged up before I start talking about the serious stuff that's going on. And you all,
I don't know how it gets more serious than having pornography in your office.
She's in that role, at Dominatrix role, right?
Yeah, she is. Yeah. You gonna slap one of us? You gonna slap one and charge us for it?
You wish. And I could charge you for it, and you would thank me.
Well, I'll let you take over now, the blue head.
God.
Thank you, Colonel, for that excellent introduction.
Oh, yes, thanks. So in January of 1917, his first wife, left him for a handyman that had been.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Boarding that had been living within the house with all of them.
That's why you never hire a handyman.
That's exactly why.
Because you know they're going to be banging your wife.
So
they're going to be banging all
he
kinds
then,
of stuff.
She actually, she left the premises. Like, she took off with this guy. So he was raising his children. Fish had all his children, was raising them as a single parent.
God, that's scary.
According to him, when his wife left, she took nearly every possession that he had. He began to have auditory hallucinations, and once wrapped himself up in a carpet saying he was following the instructions of John the Apostle. Also about the time
we thought about that
the wife left, he started doing self-harm. He would embed needles into his groin and his abdomen.
Is that a bad thing?
After he was arrested, they took an x-ray of him and found at least 29 needles lodged in his pelvis or pelvic region.
That's why you can't find a needle around here.
Get one pearl too.
Let's just hope he didn't go around a magnet.
Oh, if he ever had an MRI. Yeah,
or had to go through
airport security.
Airport security.
He could have got through airport security today.
He would also hit himself with a nail-studded paddle and inserted wood doused with lighter fluid into his anus and light it on
fire. Here's a Saturday night for you.
And light it on fire. So he did not
wait a minute. Let's go over that last part slowly again.
Was this sanded?
Flaming hemorrhoids.
Was this sanded? Did he hemorrhoids. Sand the wood real good? Because you do not want a splinter.
So what did he do now again? What did he put into what he put a?
So he soaked wood in kerosene.
Yeah.
Yes. Put it in his butthole and lit it on fire.
So that's where the term lighting a fire under your ass came from.
Or, you know, burning.
Well, you could get splinters that way.
That's why I said, if you don't sand it down, poly, yeah, put some good urethane on there.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
That's why you need polyurethane. That's when it comes in handy.
Horrible, horrible, horrible. So, I'm sorry we have breaking news. Leonard Nimoy just passed away.
Spock?
Yes.
Sorry.
So there ain't going to be no remake?
Not with Spock.
Well, as long as George Takei is still alive, that's okay.
Yes, we'll discuss more of this later. So, anywho. So, all right. So, he actually was never thought to have physically attacked or abused his own children, but he did encourage them and their friends to hit him with the paddle and...
Yeah, and they have a picture. I don't know if it was his, but you can Google it online. There's a picture of the paddle with the nails, like an inch nail. Coming out.
I have double dog dad my kids and their friends to hit me before, but never asked them.
He soon developed a growing obsession with cannibalism, and he would often prepare himself dinner that was just all raw meat, and he would feed his children. Feed his children that.
You could get worms.
You could get the worms. Yes. About 1919, he stabbed a mentally handicapped boy in Georgetown, Washington, D.C. He had a tendency to choose people that were either mentally handicapped or African-American, explaining that he assumed these victims would not be missed when they were killed. And he tortured, mutilated, and murdered young children with his implements of hell, which consisted of a meat cleaver, a butcher knife, and a small handsaw.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I
believe I'm getting some vapors. The kids that are vapors over here listening to this.
Yeah. That's pretty gross.
He kind of just rolled along doing these things. About 5 years after he stabbed the mentally handicapped kid, on July 11th of 1924... he found 8-year-old Beatrice Keel playing alone on her parents' Staten Island farm. He offered her money to come out and help him look for rhubarb.
I told you about the rhubarb with the rhubarb cobbler over there before.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
You need help when you're looking for rhubarb because you have to have a eagle eye.
They didn't have stranger danger, so she's about to go with him. And the mother comes out and chases fish away. But he comes back.
That's real. Didn't he like sleep in the barn?
Well, he tried to go to sleep in the barn. He tried to hole up in their barn, and the dad, Hans Keel, found them and made him leave.
Why didn't they shoot his ass?
I always wondered that. Why didn't somebody just shoot him?
By 1924,
because he's a creepy looking bastard.
Oh, yeah.
By 1924, he was suffering from psychosis. He felt like God was commanding him to torture and sexually mutilate children.
Ugh.
He attempted his implements of hell on a child acquaintance named Cyril Quinn. They were playing box ball on a sidewalk when Fish asked them if they'd eaten lunch, and they hadn't. And so he said, "Well, why don't you come in my apartment for some sandwiches?" The boys were wrestling around in Fish's bedroom, and they discovered Fish's implements of hell.
So they saw his chainsaw.
They saw that stuff.
Or not, it wasn't chainsaw, was it?
No. They saw that stuff, but they became frightened and they ran out of the apartment. Fish actually remarried. I mean, crazy as a shithouse rat, but he remarried February 6, 1930 to Estella Wilcox.
And I'm still single.
But they divorced after a week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And they said it would never last.
Yeah, they did, and they were right.
They did not return one of the gifts. They did not return a single gift.
A narrowly won.
That's tacky.
That is really tacky. It's a faux pas.
Mm-hmm.
So he was arrested in May of 1930 for sending an obscene letter to a woman who answered an advertisement for a maid.
Didn't he like have this whole thing where he would send like look people's names up in ads and things and send them dirty letters?
Oh, he's seen all kinds. He was the first troll. He was really the first internet.
He's sort of like Johnny Footstool.
Johnny Footstool. Stop. You related to Albert Fish? Cowardly bastard.
He finally in 1931 was sent to Bellevue Psychiatric Hospital. But back on May 25th of 1928, He saw a classified advertisement in the Sunday edition of the New York World that read, "Young man, 18, wishes position in the country. Edward Budd, 406 West 15th Street." So, on the 28th, Fish, who was then 58 years old, went to the Budd family farm. Or, no, I guess it wasn't a farm. Went to the Budd family in Manhattan under the pretense of hiring this kid. And he later told people he was planning to tie Edward up and mutilate him and leave him to bleed to death. But he introduced himself as Frank Howard, a farmer from Farmingdale, New York. Yes, so that would make sense.
Farmingdale. And by this time, it's interesting because he's in his 50s, but he looked like he's 110 years old.
Yeah, he it was rough.
And that's how he got by with so much of this stuff, because he looked like a kindly old grandpa.
He looked harmless.
Premature gray.
So he goes, Fish promised to hire Bud and his friend Willie, and said that he would go ahead and send for him in a few days. Well, he didn't show up, and he sent a telegraph to the family apologizing, and then he set a later date. Well, when he came back, he met Grace and apparently changed his intended victim from Edward to Grace Budd. And he made up this whole elaborate story about how he was going to attend his niece's birthday party and did she want to come.
And she's like, what, 10?
Yeah, she wasn't very old at all. She was 10 years old. But he convinced the parents, who are
How does that happen? Some stranger comes up and says, "Hey, I'm going to take your 10-year-old daughter to a birthday party. You've never seen the guy before." Well, okay.
Sometimes your kids just get on your damn nerves. You ever seen the clown from It?
Yes, Pennywise.
Pennywise, there's times that I'd let Logan go to King's Island with Pennywise. Because he just get on my damn nerves so bad some days, but...
So he convinced the parents to let Grace accompany him to the party. Grace left that day and they never returned. They did arrest a guy in that disappearance, some 66-year-old superintendent, Charles Edward Pope. They arrested him on September 5th, 1930, and because his estranged wife accused him.
So, just to be clear on this, they were divorced.
She accused him.
Clear, Mr. Fish comes and takes this young girl. They don't come back.
Yeah,
and then they arrest another guy for the disappearance.
Yeah, I couldn't understand that.
108 days in jail.
So they did not have
Sherlock Holmes on this case.
No, Scooby was not there.
They did not have the history dweebs cracking this case.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense to me. They knew that they let Fish take their daughter, although he gave him a phony name. But then they don't know what happened to her. It's really weird.
So in November, would have
thought
they
would ask for a deposit or something.
Something. Mm-hmm. So in November of 1934, an anonymous letter showed up at the girl's parents' house.
Oh, this is just sick.
And this actually led the police to Albert Fish. I'm not going to read it.
It's available online if you want to read it.
Essentially what it says was that the writer tortured Miss... He tortured her with details about the empty house her daughter was taken to in Worcester, New York, how she was then stripped of her clothing, strangled and cut into pieces and eaten.
And the worst part of that is that she was illiterate and she had to have someone read
the
letter.
She had her son read it to her.
Yeah.
But to make her feel better, the writer,
Fish,
let her know that Grace had not been sexually assaulted at any time.
And
she died a virgin.
Well, that was mighty kind of a fiendish bastard.
Wasn't that sweet? So, you know, I mean, in the letter, and I'm looking at the letter, and it's extremely graphic, and it's horrible, and I can't imagine as a mother.
And it was like, wasn't it like
getting anything like
4 years later or something? It was a while.
Yeah, I mean, he took her. Let's see.
When it was really the envelope that got him. I mean, he tried to scratch over the letterhead or the address, return address on the envelope,
but it was really graphic. He killed her, and then he basically chopped her up and ate her.
Yeah. So he, but yes, Charles He did get caught by his letterhead, by his stationery, for that particular case, because it was a very distinctive, specific symbol that was on this stationery.
To future serial killers, if you're gonna, like the Zodiac killer, he didn't use his own stationery.
Notebook paper.
Yeah. Get notebook paper. Don't. Yeah.
Notebook paper.
Now they got the DNA.
I mean, you know, the weird thing is that he would remember in detail 4 years later what he did, and then just out for no reason write a letter to the parents to torture him.
Well, he told police that it never even entered his head to rape the girl. He never even thought about it, but that he
because that would be sick.
Because yeah, that would be wrong. But he did. He later told his attorney that while kneeling on her chest and strangling her, he did have two involuntary ejaculations.
Ugh.
And they used this at trial to prove that the kidnapping was sexually motivated, and did not even mention the cannibalism. So, after his arrest, they discovered about Mr. Francis McDonald. And this little boy was 8, and back on July 14th, 1924, he was reported missing by his parents. He had been playing a game of catch with friends and had failed to come home. His body was found hung by a tree in a wooded area near his home. He had been sexually assaulted and then strangled with suspenders. According to the autopsy, he had also suffered extensive lacerations to his legs and abdomen. And his left hamstring had almost been entirely stripped of its flesh, like somebody had been hitting him. Fish refused to claim responsibility for this, but later he said that his intention was to castrate the boy, but heard somebody coming and he took off. The little boy's friends, McDonald's friends, told the police that he was taken by an elderly gentleman with a gray mustache. A neighbor had seen the same thing. Francis's mother, said she'd seen that man earlier in the day. He just came down the street sort of crazy, and everybody, you know, left him alone. Billy Gaffney was another one that he got nailed for on February 11th, 1927, 3-year-old Billy and his 12-year-old brother were playing in the apartment hallway in Brooklyn. Oh, there's two Billys. I apologize. I'm sorry. Billy Beaton and his 12-year-old brother were playing in the apartment hallway in Brooklyn with 4-year-old Billy Gaffney. The 12-year-old left for his apartment, and both of the little boys disappeared. Beaton was later found on the roof of the apartment. They asked what happened to Gaffney, and Beaton, the little boy, told him that the boogeyman took him. They never recovered Gaffney's body. Initially, they thought it was serial killer Peter Kudzianowski.
Yeah, he was another.
He'd been operating around that.
Yeah, he was another child molester, serial killer. It was in the same area. Can you imagine that neighborhood? Two of those.
It's crazy.
Wackos running around.
Then Joseph Meehan, a motorman in Brooklyn on the Brooklyn trolley, saw pictures of Fish in a newspaper and identified him as the old man that he saw February 11th, 1927. He'd been trying to quiet the little boy sitting next to him on the trolley. The boy wasn't wearing a jacket, was crying for his mother, and was dragged by the man on and off the trolley.
Which makes you wonder, if you see that today, now, and I know things are different, but wouldn't somebody step up and say, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe they thought it was his grandkid or something.
But somebody could ask.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, I think today people would be more sensitive to it, maybe, more alert to it.
Well, Fish went on trial for the murder of Grace Budd, and it started on March 11th, 1935. The trial lasted for 10 days, and Fish pled insanity. He claimed to have heard voices from God telling him to kill these children. Several psychiatrists testified to Fish's extensive list of sexual fetishes, which I can't really say, and it's pretty extensive.
But it included mutilation, cannibalism.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot. Voyeurism.
Drinking.
Kikerism. Exhibitionism. Flagellism. Fellatio. Analingus. Conilingus.
He had them all.
Yeah, he did.
He was a whole penthouse forum section to himself.
He was.
A whole website.
But he was...
He's a whole Persian kitty.
Ultimately, they found him to be sane and guilty, and the judge ordered the death sentence, and he arrived in prison on March 1935. He was executed on January 16th, 1936, in the electric chair at Sing Sing. His last words were reportedly, "I don't even know why I'm here."
Did you read?
There was a little problem with his execution.
Yeah,
They had to pull it twice.
They had to pull the switch twice because he has so many damn needles in his groin.
Yeah,
that it shorted stuff out.
Yeah,
yeah.
I would have thought that those things would have just started popping.
I don't know.
The electric chair had to be pretty new at that point, wasn't it?
Yeah, it took him a while to give him enough juice to put
him
down.
They don't know. Some people are disproving that theory. They're just saying it was...
a malfunction in the
rumors.
No,
they're just saying that he died the same way, at the same time frame as others, so...
But they did have to pull the thing
according
twice,
according to this,
it?
They may not have.
Might be an urban legend.
Yeah. His lawyer actually had some final statements, and after he was executed, his lawyer went out to reporters and said, you know, let them know that he had Fish's final statements that Howard had given them. And when the journalist, you know, wanted him to, the guy's name was Dempsey, they wanted Dempsey to read this final statement. He said, "I will never show it to anyone. It's the most filthy string of obscenities I have ever read." So.
Well, he hasn't read some of your emails, Blue Hat Devil.
Probably not.
There's some of the books that you keep in your desk.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, or the books you keep. Oh, you know, now, I have to raise the question. Because I'm reading about this man, and clearly, he's the most fiendish character we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get back to him going to the orphanage at 5, to me, the man was clearly insane.
Mm-hmm.
How responsible was this man for what he did? I mean, it's almost like this orphanage created a monster and then let it loose on
but
society.
But you don't know that.
Yeah.
No, we don't. That's my whole point.
He could have been that way before he went to the orphanage.
Yeah.
I mean, it might not have mattered if he'd grown up in a loving home.
He's not the poster child for an argument against the death penalty. You wouldn't want to lead with
Robert
Fish.
He doesn't elicit a lot of sympathy, but is he clearly the man was psychotic. He was not in control of his own faculties. And whether he knew it, but he clearly knew right from wrong because he was trying to hide the bodies. You know, he just didn't do stuff.
Well, I think he just didn't want people in his business.
Yeah.
He ate most of them.
Yeah, How many did he kill? It was like 3 to 9. Is that the...
Well, he said over 100.
Well, he bragged that he had 100, every kid
in every state.
In every state.
Yeah, he bragged that it was over 100.
We're not sure if he meant...
But he was convicted.
He wasn't sure if he meant killed a kid in every state or molested or ate.
Yeah. He ate, he was convicted of grace.
But the Lord knows how many
victims
he had.
And that was all it took. And I think that they knew that. But
sick puppy.
Yes. Yeah. And I apologize. There's a lot of information on him, and I wanted to spare people some of the Some of the more grotesque things that...
Yeah, some of these stories you can kind of make light of, but some of the shit that he did, it's hard to make light of, especially when you got kids involved.
But I'll tell you who we will not spare the gory details to.
Who?
Johnny Footstool. Right. Johnny Footstool, I will not forget you. You think that this is just something that's going to pass, but you call my friends morons.
Now, as a reminder, Johnny Footstool is a person who made an unfavorable comment on our Facebook page.
He called my friend. Now, he called us all three morons.
Right.
Okay. Now, the colonel got a thick skin. I'm not a sensitive man. You want to take me on and say,
well, you're a learned man.
I'm a learned man, but you do not call my friends morons, Johnny Footstool.
Even if it's true.
Even if, I'm not saying they're not morons. I'm just saying they're my morons. You understand that? I get to, it's like
so your you're calling your out Johnny Footstool.
Oh, I will call you. I
don't think he'll be listening at this point because he said he couldn't listen more than 5 minutes of this shit. So we're like an hour into it.
If you happen to make it through to this, Johnny Footstool, or if the word gets around, just tell him the colonel looking for you, Johnny Footstool. And because me and you, we got a score to settle. And we're going to do it the old-fashioned way.
What is this, the Outsiders?
What is the old-fashioned way?
The old-fashioned way is I slap him across the face with a pair of white gloves, and we do 20 paces.
Do you have to have a pair of white gloves or just one?
Just need one.
I'm going to use the whole pack because he pissed me off real bad.
And Brandy is going to be your second.
I'm not your second.
Yeah.
And your weapon of choice?
My weapon of choice is going to be a pair of nunchucks. The colonel is deadly with a pair of nunchucks.
I'm not your
son. I would choose an automatic weapon myself.
No. Nope.
Grenade launcher.
Nope. You get a pair of nunchucks, I can knock the bullets right out of that.
Brandy.
Yes.
Do you have anything else you would like to add, or would you like to wrap up this podcast?
We need to wrap this up.
Brandy is so concerned about our listeners' time. So thank you, Brandy, for that thrilling rendition of Albert Fish, who I like to call Ham and Eggs.
It was sad.
The bastard. Colonel, any last words of wisdom from you?
No, I would just like to say, if you hung in with us, Roland, Jared, thanks for listening. Alfonso, you keep doing what, crush those cars, burn those bodies, do what you need. Just thank you for sponsoring the show. And Albert's Fish and Chips. Fish, the catfish was like my mama's. It was like my mama's catfish. It was that good. So thank you.
Do they serve ham and eggs as well?
They will not sell ham and eggs. They will not sell ham iron.
Thank you all for listening and join us next time on History Dweebs.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.